Fashion Tech Applied is published. My co-authored book taking you through 6 chapters and covering the technologies and innovations powering the fashion industry. I'm Peter Jun Ho Sang, founder and CEO of Beyond Form, and welcome to the special podcast series Applied. Each episode, I'll be sitting down with incredible fashion tech professionals that are featured inside the book. On today's episode, I'm sitting down with Nicola Romero, founder and CEO of Futures Factory, a platform for the creation of 3D printed footwear. Nicola and Futures Factory are featured in chapter 2 of the book, where the evolving design process is discussed. On the topic of evolution, Nicola is a classic example of this, taking his learnings from launching a physical collection at first, then shifting into digital product creation, as discussed in the book, and as we find out on today's episode, his sidestep into 3D printed footwear.
There are many things that you can do, many forms that you can do that it would be super complicated or impossible to do in traditional manufacturing. It also helps create some souls more easily than in traditional manufacturing, where molds are super expensive to do. So yeah, it's a technology that will help designers and creators unleash their creativity much more.
Let's get into the conversation with Nicola on this episode of Venturing into Fashion Tech. How are you today, Nicola?
I'm very good, and you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for coming and joining myself on the show, where we're going to be talking about digital fashion, NFTs, Web3, your evolution as a startup founder, and most recently, 3D printed footwear. Well, you're obviously featured in our book, Fashion Tech Applied, in chapter 2 specifically about design and the evolution of design. But for some context for our listeners, in terms of the global footwear market, it is predicted to witness a revenue of just under $400 billion by the end of 2023, and an annual growth rate of 3.47% between 2023 and 2028, according to Statista. Breaking that down even further, where Futures Factory is working in terms of 3D printed footwear, the global 3D printed footwear market is valued at $993 million in 2022, and is projected to reach a value of $3,758 by 2030, and that's according to Vantage Market Research. So from what I see in the stats, it's going to have an explosive growth. I think the advancement of the technology itself is very indicative of why that explosive growth is happening. On the market now, we see a lot of 3D printed footwear. So I'm very interested to hear, Nicola, how you're going to be taking that on as Futures Factory. But before we get into the now, let's rewind a little bit. You started off with Satoshi Studio, which was a footwear brand. You've then transitioned into Futures Factory, which is working with NFTs and digital fashion and digital assets. And then you've gone into 3D printers. So how did all of that journey come about?
It started around 2017, more precisely, with the first NFTs that went live. And we were super interested by the use of this technology to bring more transparency to users. So the initial idea was to link a physical product to an NFT to give like all the information on the product to the final user. So basically the materials, the authenticity certificate, everything else like that you can give to the consumer, suppliers too. And after that, we wanted to have a different business model than all the brands, very direct to consumer. We wanted the brand to be really driven by demand, so we wanted like to have a sort of a crowdfunding model. And the transition to Futures Factory was based on the fact that we knew that brands needed more interesting crowdfunding models and platforms, new ways of having people, the consumers, paying for these products even before they exist. And NFTs were a good way to enhance the experience of the crowdfunding experience.
Just for our listeners, I have been following Nicola's, shall we say, evolution over the last couple of years. When we first spoke, you told me a very interesting story because you don't come from the footwear industry and you were inspired. Was it eKitties or something? like a CryptoKitty or something like that. That was, I just remember that evolution of the story.
Yeah. So there were many projects, but CryptoKitties was one of the biggest projects at the time. They completely congestioned. I don't know if I can say that, but the Ethereum network was completely overloaded, and it was interesting to see gaming entering into tech. And I knew when I was learning about this technology that it would go beyond the financial sphere, and like gaming was already something super interesting to see. But I was quite sure that the fashion industry, with all the problematics that we have, the use of this technology, the usage would be super interesting. So we wanted to start really simply with this use case of linking a physical product and giving it a digital identity. But we knew that with years, like a lot of new usage could emerge. I wanted to be one of the first to dive into it. It was just a simple experiment with a friend. We just invested, I think, 3,000 euro at the time to create the brand and launch the Kickstarter and everything. So it was really just do it. We'll see what will come of it. And it was super interesting since then.
Then Satoshi Studio, and then going into Futures Factory. Is there a link between the two, or is it now completely Futures Factory that you're working on?
There is no real link. Like, there are two different entities. It was also easier, I guess, for my partners, my investors. But it's really an extension of Satoshi Studio, because we found out that there was a better way to do pre-sale campaigns. And when we started to discuss with brands and designers, we realized that there was such an opportunity that we couldn't do it just for our brands. So we decided to create another name. Just it was the name at the beginning, Futures Factory. The futures was coming from the financial sphere, factory meaning like for the manufacturing part. And it just started as a mood board. We wanted just to repost all the cool footwear project that we had, that we found, and we were using it to connect with designers and brands and interrogate them about the potential use of this technology to pre-sale products. But it was really focused on crowdfunding. Then we realized that we could create much more than just a crowdfunding platform using NFTs.
And for our listeners that aren't familiar with Futures Factory, how would you describe it?
Yeah, so it really started as a sneaker NFT platform, whose goal is to help designers and brands to create their project, whether it's digital-only sneakers or with a physical component. And of course, like the pre-sale crowdfunding part was really important at the beginning, but it became more large after, more broad. So yeah, it started like this. The purpose was really to empower the creators to design the future of footwear. So the future of footwear for us, it's more collaborative, more sustainable, more abordable too for designers, less lower entry barriers, let's say. And we wanted to give them the tools and the resources to enter the market and to connect more easily with consumers and with their community.
And then now, is it solely focused on the 3D printing side of things?
So the purpose is still the same. We still have like a good community of creators. It's just that a long time ago, when we started the Futures Factory, we already got in touch with Cornelius, who is the founder of Zellerfeld, which is now the leading 3D printing company in footwear, working with Louis Vuitton, Aaron Preston, really great brands. And when we met him, there were just like a few guys in a lab building some custom printers. And we realized that it was a super opportunity for designers to get from like just an idea to a physical product really, really fast, way more fast than in traditional footwear making. And we felt it was a super opportunity to help those designers to get into it and to promote this technology that is quite old, but still really new and recent in footwear and fashion. And yeah, I think there is, you mentioned the numbers, I didn't know them, but it seems like a really important new market, and we're just at the beginning of something big, and there will be much more innovation that will come. So yeah, we want to be a part of it. We don't print them directly. We have some printers, but it's just like to get like a few samples. It's still super complex to handle. But for now, we help brands or designers brands to design the products. There is still a lot of guidelines to follow. A lot of errors, easy mistakes that you can do. So we are here to help them create those designs, and we connect them with a printer company like Zellerfeld or Hewlett Packard or other companies that are focusing on this.
Yeah, I think it's super interesting. I did mention the numbers at the start. So just under $4,000 million by 2030. So it's a huge potential market. And obviously for you guys, you're tapping into that super, super early. We see the applications of 3D printed footwear. Adidas was exploring this back in 2017 with their 4D printed soles and with carbon. We were speaking to a 3D printing company over the summer, EOS, for our listeners. Our regular listeners will know this. And they were talking about fine resolution details. So I think the technology has just come along so drastically over the last previous years that it's just now possible to literally print anything when it comes to footwear. I think at the core of it, though, it is about still getting the industry to move from traditional design, and this is what we talk about in chapter two in the book, to the digital design elements. Whether that is creating a digital asset using, you know, browser, Workflow 3D and the regular 3D design, or taking that even further into rapid prototyping like you are doing with Futures Factory, I think it's shifting the process and the culture and the approach that designers are bringing towards the notion of footwear design. For you then specifically, Nicola, how do you think this paradigm is shifting in terms of the design process? And where do you think this is going to take actually the offering it's going to present to the consumer?
There are many different aspects we could talk about. On the consumer side, let's say that now people can see like really crazy things on Instagram and so realistic that you feel that you could wear it, and it's developing the taste of people. People want to see like more futuristic things. I can mention, for example, Safa Sahin at Balmain, who really like a few years ago, you would say that it will stay a concept forever, but with just like the new technologies, but also like designers that are more confident and don't want to sacrifice the design for like a functionality or whatever. So we see that it's developing well in footwear. There are more and more crazy designs, and it's thanks to new softwares like Gravity Sketch, or you mentioned the Cloud 3D or Closing. So I think there is this aspect, and it's much more easy to get also a physical product from an idea. I already said it, but it's really true. It's easier for product makers, like the manufacturers, get from just an idea to a physical product, because it's easier to see, to understand, to visualize a product when it's in 3D rather than just a 2D sketch. So it has many impacts.
And for the footwear designers, or the designers, shall we say, do you think the notion of 3D printing and digital asset creation, do you think this is going to be something that or footwear designers will need to eventually adopt in order to keep ahead in the industry?
Not necessarily. It all depends on what you do. If you're an independent designer, it's a good way to easily create products with not a lot of resources. You don't need a lot of to put a lot of money to create 3D printed sneakers. No, if you're already working in a good brand and they don't want it, 3D printed sneakers is not aligned with the branding, for example, it doesn't worth it. It's cool to experiment it, but it's not a requirement to go into this. I still believe that in design, for now, it's so so specific, so niche that I'm wondering if it will really become mainstream, at least like for full sneakers. Of course, like for slippers, it will be easier, but for full sneakers, it's really different than traditional footwear. So yeah, for me, it might be like a new market in footwear.
Through the realms of audio, if I'm thinking of 3D printed shoes, I just have Crocs in my head. But I imagine you're not talking about Crocs right now in terms of shape and form and design. So if you are 3D printing a shoe, what are the possibilities?
Pretty much endless. There are many things that you can do, many forms that you can do, that it would be super complicated or impossible to do in traditional manufacturing. It also helps create some soles more easily than in traditional manufacturing, where molds are super expensive to do. So yeah, it's a technology that will help designers and creators unleash their creativity much more.
So I just go back to the idea of you transitioning from digital assets through to 3D printing, the whole idea of pivoting as a startup. We've talked about this many times on the podcast show. Pivoting is very natural in the startup's journey. For you, Nicola, did you just wake up one day and was like, okay, I think we need to pivot Futures Factory? Or what was that process and what was some of the strategic decisions you did to then pivot?
Yeah, you feel it like you. It's always important to analyze everything you do, to track everything you do, and stop to really think about what you're doing. So for us, it was very natural. We just knew that our model wasn't efficient enough. We had some good things, positive things, and some negatives, and we stopped like for 1 week. Everything we did with the team, and we thought about our purpose, where we want to go, where we want to be in 5 years, 10 years, and that's how we processed and we went to this pivot. And yeah, like you said, it's very natural. We did at least two pivots, and for now, I think we're in a good way because we're not. Like we did before at the very beginning when we created this NFT platform. For now, we are just discussing with brands. They have like clear needs, and we're just learning while doing things with them. And I think this is the right way. Perhaps next year we'll launch a marketplace helping brands or just consumers to purchase some 3D printed sneakers. But for now, we don't want to launch it because it would be it's just too early. We need first to really understand the market, have a good portfolio, and then when we feel confident enough, we launch this this platform. But we won't go as fast as we did in 2021, where everyone was super excited about Red Tree. We were there for a long time. We raised money, but I think a lot of startups crashed because they went too fast, and they thought that yeah, this is the new revolution. We need to be the first. And a lot of mistakes were made by my team, by me, and by other startups. Like I know plenty of crazy stories that are quite.
I want to hear some of those crazy stories, Nick. Like, can you share stories with us?
No, I can't. But it's really common when you're in this world, and you have to be very very resilient. And right now, we spent really 6 months. It was super hard. There is the beer market, but also like in terms of funding revenue, there is a lot of the market is really retracting. So we really stopped everything, and right now we are doing things slowly, step by step, and we'll see next year how it goes.
And you mentioned that you did fundraise in 2021. How much was the fundraise again?
It was almost a bit more than 22 million.
So it was like a nice seed round for France, shall we say, this part of the world. How did your LPs, your investors, take it when you said to them, okay, we're going to pivot Futures Factory into 3D printing?
they really understood, because they, some of them invested also in Web3 companies, and they say that there, for now, there is no market, or it's a market that is really too early, and most of the companies were just playing like the speculative game. So no real use case for now. And yes, it's a very immature market, and they completely understood. And we're playing here on our strength. We have been always well connected with brands, designers, and we already learned this past month on this technology. So when we told them that we already had brands and that we wanted to focus more on this, they totally understood.
Which makes sense, and I'm glad to hear that your investors have some sense as well when it comes to NFTs and Web3. In our tech review at the end of 2023, we were discussing actually how there was a crypto crash and how that affected the fashion industry, especially with the big players like Adidas and Nike investing so much resources into the specific category. And Adidas specifically saw, you know, the value of the NFTs that they launched in 2023 by more than 75%, which is a huge decline. Sales overall was down by more than 50%, and the price of NFTs was down as well by more than 50%. So it just went down. And obviously this isn't just for fashion industry, but in general across the crypto space. So it only makes sense that you are pivoting to something that you know is going to work. And of course, ultimately the company is going to survive. We've had conversations previously, Nicola, that for Futures Factory, there was a huge element of the community as well. You talked about in our book interview, for example, how you use Discord as part of the test and learn cycle. Is that still a necessary step for your current evolution of Futures Factory? And do you think that notion of using Discord to tap into knowledge is going to be still there?
It is, perhaps a bit less, but for example, when we started to work on our 3D printed shoe for our community, we organized some workshops every week for like during summer. I think it was during mid-August to mid-September. And yes, they were helpful, just guiding us. Do they prefer to work on mule or slippers or mid-top, high-top? So they helped us get in the right direction. Then it was more like to engage and show them the progress over the week. And it was cool to have like a real short feedback loop. And they were super excited. Then I'm not sure that on the design side it really helped. We were still like controlling a bit everything. But there were some cool ideas. And we hope that for the packaging, for example, we'll keep some of the good ideas from the community. And yes, I think it's really important to stay in touch with your community, whether it's on Discord or Instagram or TikTok. A lot of designers are just creating some concept kicks, and just seeing like the enthusiasm of their community, they know that there is something to develop there. And I would love to talk about Pet Liger. I don't know if you know about him.
Tell us more, enlighten us.
Yeah, so Konstantinos, I forgot where he came from. I think it's Chypria, but I'm not sure. He really started as a designer, concept maker. Like he was just creating some cool concepts on Instagram. He's about to launch his own physical brand, and with now, 129K. So it's a lot. And he created this community from nothing. He just like... he was putting just concept kicks on Instagram, and this is how he grew his community and get people excited for a future release. But he never said anything, so people are expecting and hoping that one day he will create some physical shoes, but he never did. And now he's preparing a big launch for next year. And perhaps I'm seeing too much. I don't know.
And I'm always thinking, is this a real shoe or is it a fake shoe? Because I really want to wear it. And you talk there about tapping into the community and creating a feedback loop. You make it sound so simple, though. Nicola, because not every fashion designer or fashion brand knows how to do that effectively. So for any of our listeners that are trying to tap into any kind of community, what kind of challenges are there with effectively engaging and communicating to them, and how do you overcome them?
I think it's really hard to start from nothing. You have to grow a community first by putting a lot of work. So from what I see, the easiest way to do is to create as much as possible, as simple as that. So like for a brand that wants to directly put some resources and create a brand, then create the community, it's harder. If you start with directly like digital fashion and putting your design and progressively growing your community, I think it's the best way to do it. And it's a bit like a startup. You don't directly invest too much money in one thing if you don't know if there is demand, if there is a market. It's better to start slowly with concepts, clothes or shoes. Build your community, then you don't necessarily need to interact directly with them, but you can just track what are the most liked pictures, as simple as that. And you will find your niche. If you have one viral post, for example, you will know that, okay, there is something here. Let's dive more into it.
You did a collaboration with DressX in November 2023. The whale sharks was the theme of the entire collection. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Actually, it was more a partnership with The Foot Soldiers, which is a renowned UK footwear agency that we met in London. I think it was 2021, and they had this really cool physical sneakers that they created with known partners like Vibram, Gore-Tex, and they wanted to do something with this sneaker that was just, it was not supposed to be commercialized. We discussed and brainstormed, and we said, okay, perhaps it could be cool to create some sort of a tombola, a raffle, and something for the community, really a low entry barrier. And we felt that it was the moment to create this sort of $1 raffle. We came up with this idea to allow as much people to participate and have the chance to get like a super rare shoe just for $1.
And why whale sharks?
The design is really inspired by the whale shark texture. There is still sand coming out from the shoe because we did a photo shoot in Barcelona. But as you can see, like the texture is really inspired by it.
The shark skin. So for our listeners, obviously can't see now through the realms of audio, it is a shoe or a sneaker with shark skin like texture and patterns all around the sneaker. They look pretty cool.
Yeah, they're
I'm guessing those are yours, right?
No, I have to return them, unfortunately.
Okay. I just want to finish off this talk with a quick fire round of questions. So the first answer that comes to your head, are you ready, Nicola?
I'm ready.
Favorite fashion brand or footwear brand that is using 3D printed in some way?
So I would say Joey Camus, who is a really great designer. Melon Shoes. So it's an association of Joey Camus and Fine Rush Taylor. They also launched a cool NFT project. So it was linked with NFTs. And the third one, I would say come a life form from the designer known Come Conception.
What has been your favorite digital fashion campaign activation to date?
I would say the OG from the OGs, The Fabricant, back in the day with the I forgot the name of the digital fashion dress, but they were one of the OGs in the space.
What are the next key investments strategically for you at Futures Factory?
So it will be more 3D printers and learning always these tools, getting more familiar with this technology, and in time, investment in time, more design, more VR design with Gravity Sketch, especially for me, at least 1 hour a day.
A favorite footwear that you have?
I would be the sentimental guy. I would say the Bred Jordan 1 from 2006.
One piece of advice for any entrepreneurs wanting to get into the footwear space?
Like I said, start small without putting a lot of resources, without spending a lot. Do as much as possible with the tools you have would be the best advice, not even just for entrepreneurs, also for creators.
Thank you so much for your time, Nicola.
Thank you, Peter.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to click follow to keep up to date with the latest episodes. And if you like this episode, please give us a review. If you want us to feature a specific theme or guest, please give us a message at beyondform.io. I will see you very soon.